Don't you give up on me.
All right, people. Here we are. A new episode. And I have a confession to make. I am really sorry. This will not be the first time that you hear me say this, but I've made a mistake. I know. I'm sorry. But here's what's going on. You've heard me talking about guest stars, okay? It's time to clear something up. I had a philosophical difference of opinion of what a guest star was, clearly, with Google. And when I did the Google, and I put in my query, what I read was the first guest star to appear as himself, which is Tom Jones in season 2. And of course, I would have figured this out eventually because there are several guest stars that I have neglected to mention that I will mention now. But more importantly, actually only one before this episode, but moving forward. But more importantly, I would have gotten to it when we get to Krusty Gets Busted and we see Kelsey Grammer, you know? It would have happened, okay? Like, I would have figured it out at that point. Obviously, he's a major guest star, okay? So, when you look up guest stars and you see the most common one is Marcia Wallace, who played Edna Krabappel. The reason I don't count her as a guest star is because she had a semi-permanent role, right? So if we have a difference of opinion on that, then that's fine. You can be wrong. I don't mind. But moving forward, I will be more accurate in my depiction and my clarification of guest stars, okay? I feel better. So thank you for listening to me. Listen, thanks for coming back. I'm glad that you're here. Appreciate you listening to the Donuts podcast. I am your host, Justin Metcalf, and we are going to go through the episode 6 of season 1, which is called Moaning Lisa. And as promised, I will tell you about some guest stars. Well, first, okay, so this episode aired February 11th, 1990, and this one takes a kind of a more serious tone, focuses on Lisa's emotional struggles with sadness and her journey of self-discovery. And it's really incredible because it attacks some very important ideals and principles of self-care and mental health that you really didn't see back then, and I didn't recognize it for what it was at the time, but I think it was well done. And they do a good job with a character, Bleeding Gums Murphy, who ends up being in, I think, 3 total episodes, maybe more, but not including the opening scene, obviously. But he's voiced by 3 different people, which we'll get to eventually. But the episode explores themes of melancholy and finding your voice and the importance of emotional expression. And that's really awesome. So we're going to talk about that. So guest stars, we have 2 guest stars. These are celebrity guest stars, people with IMDb profiles, and they play a few different people. So the first one is Miriam Flynn. All right. So Miriam Flynn, in this episode, she plays Ms. Barr, or Mrs. Barr? Ms. Barr. And, I wanted to say this a certain way. You might remember her from such films as Vegas Vacation and Babe and the one with the dinosaur. Crap, what is that? The one with the dinosaur. She plays... The Land Before Time. She plays Grandma Longneck in The Land Before Time. So if you haven't seen Land Before Time, I definitely recommend it. I said it, singular, the Land Before Time, the first one. There are like 38 movies. It's really upsetting that they made so dang many. But go watch the first one. The first one is good. End of discussion. Okay. And the second guest star is Ron Taylor. He plays Bleeding Gums Murphy. You might remember him from such films as Trading Places. He played, literally, his character name in Trading Places from 1983 was Big Black Guy. That was a good movie. He was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He was a Klingon chef. So I think he was there more for humor. But yeah. Anyway, so for the first little while, a lot of these guest stars, these actors that we're going to be talking about, you may not know. So, you know, you're going to want to pull up IMDb and look these guys up, because they're, you know, they were prominent actors, I think, at least for through some perspective. I think that they had pretty big roles in a lot of ways. But this was, again, 30 years ago. So a lot has changed. Okay, keep in mind that this is 1990. So, you know, the names are different. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that back in Homer's Odyssey, episode 3, I did miss who I believe is considered the first actual guest star of the show, not including Marsha Wallace. We've already talked about that. Sam McMurray. All right, now, Sam McMurray, you may remember him from such films as Raising Arizona, another great film, definitely one you need to watch. But he was Lester Lehman in Drop Dead Gorgeous, the dad of that one, like the rival. Drop Dead Gorgeous was an awesome movie. I thought it was great. But Denise Richards plays Becky Lehman, who's like the arch rival of Kirsten Dunst's character, and so he's the dad. I think he owns like a furniture store or something, but. Anyway, good movie. And there we are. So there are the two guest stars from this show and then the one from before. And like I said, moving forward, I will point out guest stars. And in these cases, for the first season, they're guest stars who play characters, not themselves. So then, of course, we'll get to people like Tom Jones and musicians like Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins who play themselves. Aerosmith comes up pretty soon. So there's going to be a lot of cool stuff. So, okay, let's get it going. Already 7 minutes in and we haven't even talked about the show yet. Jeez. Okay, the chalkboard gag was I Will Not Instigate Revolution, which is great. I enjoyed that one. And the couch gag was the Simpsons pile onto the couch. Maggie pops up in the air and then Marge catches her. Cute little couch gag. Okay, the episode. So, it starts with Lisa feeling inexplicably sad, inexplicably, jeez, that's the one, sad and disconnected. So they don't actually say what caused it, which I think is good, because how often do we feel sad or see someone else's sad and we ask why? Why are you feeling sad? And they ask her and she doesn't know. So that's, I think it's important for us to consider that as part of this discussion. And it starts, the opening scene actually is the first trivia question. I'll just do what I normally do and do all three trivia questions at the beginning. But I was thinking about doing them as we go, but that's dumb. I don't like it. So the first trivia question is, in this opening scene, Lisa's looking into the bathroom mirror. And on the sink is a tube of toothpaste. What word is written on the tube? Okay, this is 1990 animation, and it's kind of from a distance, and we didn't have 30,000 pixels back then, so there wasn't, it didn't say Crest, Colgate, Total, blah, blah. There was just one word. That was it, and it barely fit. So what is the name of the toothpaste? Okay. Number two, what is the name of the video game that Bart and Homer play together? And for a bonus point, what is Homer's boxing record? Okay, his record against Bart, what's his record? Third, how did Bleeding Gums Murphy get his name? All right, let's come back to those. and move along with the episode. So the portrayal of childhood sadness is challenging. And I mean, it's hard to articulate those kinds of complex emotions. You can make a kid look sad. Don't get me wrong. That's probably easy, but true sadness took some time. You know, it took a few minutes of dialogue to really portray that in I think a proper way. And again, I think what the writers were going for was not what happened to cause the sadness, but how sadness is viewed and what we do about that sadness, which is incredible. So there's misunderstandings from her family as she goes through her day, misunderstandings from her teachers, and her attempts to express her feelings are just kind of met with that. More than just misunderstanding, just like a lot of adults, they didn't really try to understand. They were just, oh, you know, kids get sad sometimes. And that happens. That's truth. Happened then, it happens now. So how do you think that the animators did with visually representing Lisa's emotional state? Because like I said, it's trying to show and depict sadness is different from making a child look sad for a moment. There's more of it. She kept a morose look on her face. Her posture was a little different, and the colors were less vibrant. Like, there was more to it. There was also music, you know, somber music. Just, you know, that kind of stuff is intentional. They do that on purpose to portray their message and to make it more clear. And of course, as the Simpsons move on, there's a lot more funny, humorous stuff and less episodes like this. But one of the great things about this episode is what it taught us. And it really would be a shame to just skip over it. So I complain a lot about them. You hear it, but I'm glad I've gone back to listen to these and watch these over again. So next, the family dynamics are still evolving with The Simpsons. Like when Marge and Homer find out Lisa's sad, Lisa or Homer tries to cheer Lisa up with his usual antics, and they just make things worse. And Marge, she offers advice, and usually throughout the series, her advice is fairly helpful. But in its case, it's well-meaning, but it's ultimately unhelpful. Bart, surprisingly, shows empathy towards Lisa's situation. It's something I'm not going to say it's out of character, because there are several episodes where Lisa and Bart have a deep connection as brother and sister, and they come together and that connection is shown to be very strong. So I'm not going to say it's out of character, but it is still somewhat surprising when it happens. And in this case, when he shows empathy towards her situation. So there's lots of different approaches that the family takes to deal with Lisa's sadness, but inevitably it's, you know, nothing helps. So Lisa, like any other 8-year-old would, grabs her saxophone and wanders downtown in the middle of night. So I don't know if that was an intentional joke, but I sure as heck wouldn't allow my child out of my home at night feeling sad. But I mean, if we're going to sit and talk about how the Simpsons do things differently from normal families, that these episodes would be 4 hours long. So we're not going to get into that, but I just wanted to point that out. If it wasn't an intentional joke, fine. I still think it's funny. So she encounters Bleeding Gum Murphy, I believe on the same bridge that we saw in Homer's Odyssey when Homer was thinking about taking his life. I think it's the same bridge. So he teaches Lisa about blues and encourages her to express her emotions through music. And this is a very significant time for Lisa, because Bleeding Gums Murphy ends up being a very prominent mentor figure for Lisa throughout the series, even though he was only in a limited amount of episodes and dies pretty soon. I think within the first couple of seasons. It just goes to show how impactful he was, and therefore how impactful this particular moment and scene were. And it doesn't hurt that at the end of this episode, we get a really great sounding song. She's got a great singing voice. I really liked it. So, but we'll come back to that in a minute. So the role of music has a form of emotional expression and sort of catharsis is not new. It's something that was taught, you know, in the 90s, and it's still proven with scientific research to be an excellent form and source for emotional expression. There's a lot of different music therapies that have been created and evolved through the years. I was at a children's hospital with my son a few years back. He had two different stays where he was stuck in the hospital for a week. It was rough, but one day a month, or it was like every 2 weeks or something, we were able to see it once. They had these different types of therapies where they came to your room. So there was art therapy. Actually, you'd go to that one. But then there was a therapy dog. The owner and his dog would come to the room and they'd do some cute tricks. And it was a kind of dog, a therapy dog, that whose job it was to just be hugged and be lovable. He jumped up on the bed and just cuddled and let my son hug him. And it was just so heartwarming, and it made a big difference. And of course, I mean, you should look into this, but you know, your brain will release oxytocin from, you know, when you make contact with other humans and through skin or when you're petting an animal. It's very relaxing and it was very cathartic. And then there is this, this young woman, I think maybe in her early 20s, who was volunteering her time, and she came with a guitar and just sang a few songs to him. It was awesome. And they had a great time, and that was the musical therapy. And consequently, we actually, since our kids were about 7 or 8 years old, we have insisted that they learn piano, each of our kids. And there were plenty of times when they've absolutely hated us, okay, in the moment. But one of them's grown now, and the other two are, you know, growing. They're older, they're teenagers. They all say the same thing. It's rough to have to practice, but their ability to use music as a healthy coping mechanism and to use it as a way to express themselves has been a godsend for them. And it's been something that's now a very important part of their life. And that's definitely what I think they were teaching here in this episode, is the importance of healthy. We know now that it's called a coping mechanism, but I don't know what it was in 1990. Maybe it was then, but a healthy way to express yourself and to deal with sadness. And there's a stark contrast between dealing with sadness and burying sadness. Okay. It's important that we have that understanding, because drinking alcohol because you're sad, taking drugs because you're sad, playing video games because you're sad, are unhealthy ways to cope with your sadness. And doing those things on your own, I mean, if I want to go play video games, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm doing it because I'm sad, there's something wrong with it, because then my brain's going to release chemicals that numb the pain. And that's why it's important for us to have this distinct conversation where we separate numbing pain and facing the sadness. Lisa's sadness didn't magically disappear, but she learns to embrace it as part of herself. She finds solace in music and connects with others who understand her. Do you see? Do you understand what's being taught in this episode? It's so incredible. I absolutely love what this episode stands for. And I think it withstands the test of time. I think it's an episode that should be shown in school, in my opinion. I mean, the kids will love it because you're showing The Simpsons in school. But, man, it teaches some amazing stuff. It really does. What do you think? So when we talk about the episode's message about accepting and validating emotions, even the negative ones, what comes to your mind? Do you buy into that? Do you think that's a good way to do it? Do you think that's a healthy way to live? Tell me what you think of the ending scene. My thoughts were, I wanted to analyze the ending scene and the implications that it had on Lisa's future, but I kind of would rather hear what you have to say. I mean, I'll still share briefly what I think instead of going into full detail what I had written, but I want to know what you think, what comes to mind, what you heard, what you felt, what you saw, what you thought when you saw the ending scene. So when she's singing that Jazz Man song, which it was super awesome. I still think, you know, I've already said it. I loved it. I thought the impact on her future is pretty clear. She's embracing her sadness. She's connecting with someone who is like-minded in Bleeding Gums Murphy. And I know we see him again, and I know how she reveres him in those future episodes. So that connection is made right now, and it becomes immediately strong and cemented within her, the depths of her soul. A great episode. So there's lots of emotional depth in this episode. Moaning Lisa definitely differs from other early Simpsons episodes, and one could argue from most future episodes, and its focus is on emotional realism. What do you think it offers society today? What do you think it does for us? Do you find value in it now? What about the music? Like, the episode teaches us about blues music, jazz music, and its impact in storytelling. Right? It does. It really does. This will not be the first time, by far, that I tell you about something, a principle of life, or just the meaning of something that I learned from The Simpsons because I watched The Simpsons. And then later on in school or in reading a book or something, the actual definition or clarification will come up and I'll say, oh, yeah, I learned that on The Simpsons. Seriously, as a Gen Xer, that happened countless times. There's just a whole lot that this show teaches. It really is. Good, bad, or indifferent, it does. How do you think this episode contributes to the development of Lisa? I think I've pretty clearly shared my opinion of how it does. We all know how important the saxophone is to her throughout her life. She's always eight, but, you know, for 30 years of season of episodes, you know, the saxophone is her life. There are a couple prominent episodes where something happens to her saxophone and it becomes a source of concern or distress. And, you know, that her, it's in two different places in the opening scenes of the show. She has a solo in, you know, every full opening scene of the show. And it's a very prominent figurehead or piece in the show. And the theme of this particular episode, I think, has more depth than any episode yet that had come out at the time. And there are some others that have some great depth, but I think this one definitely stands apart, especially for the time, as being the first with real themes of sadness and self-expression, music, mentorship. Definitely a great episode, and I think it was fully intentional as well. And it makes you wonder, like, were they toying with these things? Like, should we stick to more of the slapstick comedy, or should we teach a value and see what people think? I'm sure that the responses that they got in the media were, and from focus groups and, you know, people that watch the show, was part of their decision-making. any successful company or program is going to have that kind of thing, and they'll evolve. But it makes me kind of wish sometimes that we had a lot more of this, but I totally understand that. I think if they went this way more often, if they were more heavy-handed with this kind of stuff, with this depth, it probably wouldn't have lasted 35 years. So I get it. It is what it is, and that's fine. But yeah, what does my opinion matter, right? Everything. That's why. And so does yours. Speaking of which, share with me. I keep telling you. Keep telling me. Share your opinions with me. You can email me at shartandpants@gmail.com, or you can send me a tweet on X at donuts742. All right. We've gone over everything I wanted to. The last thing I wanted to just reemphasize is the legacy that this episode leaves behind. The lasting impact that this episode has for The Simpsons and its portrayal of complex emotions. If you saw this episode in 1990, I hope you have that same understanding as I do, that for whatever, for it is, you know, it is what it is, whether you liked it or not at the time or now. I think we should, hopefully we can agree that this episode had an amazing portrayal of complex emotions and had and left a lasting impact on society. So I enjoyed it. I hope you did too. Tell me how it made you feel. Tell me what your favorite moments were. Did you like the music? Did you like the jokes? My favorite joke was, again, the running gag of Bart calling Mo. Bart called Mo to try to cheer Lisa up, and the name he chose was Jacques Strap. I'm looking for a Jacques Strap. I love that stuff. I've already told you that. Okay, let's end with the trivia question, shall we? In the opening scene, Lisa's looking into the back of her mirror, bathroom mirror. What is written on her tube of toothpaste? The word glum, G-L-U-M. Get it? Because she was glum. Yeah. But that, you might want to call that lazy writing, but I think it's clever. what is the name of the video game Bart and Homer play together? It is Super Slugfest. And the bonus question, what is Homer's boxing record? It is 0 wins and 48 losses. So 0-48. Rough. That's bad. How did Bleeding Gums Murphy get his name? He said, put it to you this way, Lisa. Do you ever go to the dentist? And she said, yeah. He said, not me. So he never goes to the dentist. And that's how he gets his name. Gross. Go to the dentist, kids. Thanks again for watching. I really appreciate it. Tune in next week for The Call of the Simpsons, where we have guest star Albert Brooks. It is his first guest appearance, but he does it again in two episodes later. He's two different characters in two different episodes of The Simpsons in the first season. It's pretty cool. All right, so tune in next week. Thanks again for listening. Give me a shout on Twitter, and I will see you next week. Thanks, everybody.